It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it's good being with you once again today on It's a Good Life, and we're going to look at the scriptures in 3 John. Now, we're continuing our study, a bird's eye view, study of the books of the New Testament. And I encourage you, if at all possible, to have your Bible ready, open your Bible, and follow along as we go through these lessons. Now, last time, of course, we looked at the book of 2 John. I'd also like to remind you of something else. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The entire Bible is God-breathed. The entire Bible is the inspiration of God. Now, of course, God chose men of God to pin down what He would have us to know as we go through this life. And today, once again, we're going to look into the Bible, the New Testament. And I would remind you also that the Old Testament is also the Bible. It is all one book, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, now, the person who pinned down the book of 3 John was the son of Zebedee. And this would be the apostle whom Jesus loved in a special way. Now, you can read John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27, and you'll read about that. And once again, I remind you that it wasn't that he loved John the apostle more than other apostles or other people. It was that they seemed to have had a very close relationship. In other words, John stayed close to him. And if we could say this, he stayed closer to the Lord than the other people around. So there was a special bond there from John to the Lord. And obviously, here in the book of 3 John, the writer is the apostle John, presumably writing from Ephesus to a close friend in one of the nearby churches of Asia Minor. Now, let me add here that John was close to the Lord, and we need to stay close to the Lord as well. We need to, as we go through this world, now the Christian life is the best life there ever was, but we do have problems as Christians. So therefore, we need to stay close to the Lord, just as John did. Well, the epistle that we're looking at is 3 John, and it's the shortest letter or epistle in the New Testament. Like 2 John, it is from the elder, but unlike 2 John, it is addressed to an individual, Gaius, and not to a local congregation. Now, if you remember the last time I mentioned about 2 John, I believe that John was writing to a local congregation. Well, here we see him writing to a specific person. Although he was writing to a specific person, the letter may have well been intended for a wider audience. And we know that today that it's meant for us, that it's for our admonition. Once again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. And as we think about this, it's for the righteousness and instruction in righteousness that the man of God or the people of God can grow in grace and knowledge, that all of us can gain knowledge and wisdom from studying the Word of God. Well, the purpose of 3 John, the third book that we see here, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, is to encourage Gaius to continue extending hospitality to traveling emissaries, especially those who come from the elder, and that's John, or once again, or who are loyal to him, those people who are loyal to John. He's saying this, "Look, receive these people as me. Treat them the way you would treat me." I'm sure that as Gaius read this letter and this epistle, that he took to heart what John was saying to him. Well, the elder that we read of here, which is John, is believed by most conservative scholars to be the Apostle John, of course. Why is that? Well, the three epistles of John bear similarity to concepts and language to the Gospel of John. Now, you need to go back and compare the Gospel of John with these three epistles of John. And you'll see that there is a great similarity in the writing, in the way that the books are presented to people. Well, it doesn't mean that God is not the author. God is truly the author of the entire Bible, as we've said. He simply used men to pin down the words. Now, you see, they weren't robots like we think of robots today, that, once again, they were not men and robots that sat down and God said, do this and do that. No, these were men who pinned down the words that God would have us to know today. Well, many times, these men of old, the holy men who would pin down the scriptures, they gave what they were seeing. And what we see in these scriptures that we've been studying is that what John saw as he walked with our Lord, he saw the miracles. He wrote those down, some of them, in the book of John. Well, he saw our Lord crucified. He wrote down in the book of John how that he had seen him crucified. He saw what was going on in the life and through the life of our Lord. He saw what was going on in and through the life of believers after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And we think of this even after he ascended back into heaven. He watched believers. He saw believers. As we read and study about John, we see that he was one who had firsthand knowledge of our Lord. So, therefore, God did not say, you have to do this, you have to do that. No, John was simply writing down what had taken place, once again, under the inspiration of the Lord. What we see in these books, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he's saying, look, I'm writing to you that you can have full assurance of salvation, that you are to love one another, that you are to respect one another, and that you are to watch out for false teachers. Well, this was written, once again, under the inspiration of our Heavenly Father. It's written to us today. Well, the date of the writing of the third epistle of John is about 90 to 95 AD. And I remind you once again that it was before the persecution of Domitian, the Roman emperor. Well, the setting here is written to the beloved whom John knew personally. And once again, that would be Gaius. And he probably wrote this from Ephesus, where John had worked. Well, key verses here, I believe, are verses 4 through 8. Now, if you have your Bibles, your Bible handy there, would you open that? The 3rd John chapter, I keep wanting to say chapter, there's one chapter here, 3rd John verses 4 through 8, and it says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Well, once again, John is asking Gaius to receive the people. And verse 7 goes on to say, because that for his name's sake they went forth. You see, they went forth because of our Lord. And it goes on to say that taking nothing of the Gentiles. And he continues on in verse 7 and verse 8, he says, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Well, sometimes we find that there's competition between Christians, among Christians. And of course, this shouldn't be. And I believe that's another thing that John is trying to get across here. There should be no competition because we are fellow helpers to the truth. That is, if we abide in the truth, which is and who is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to proclaim the gospel, which is the good news that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and the best news of resurrected, so that we who name him as our Savior can have life, and that life is eternal through him. Well, therefore, we should not be at odds with other believers, but we should count ourselves as fellow helpers to them because of the truth. And the theme of this book, I believe that this is continued here, fellowship with brethren. We're to show hospitality according to 3 John 5 through 8. And then we've read this in verse 8 that we are to receive fellow workers. Well, we look at 3 John 9 through 11, and I believe that we see that we are to reject pride and self-exaltation. Now, this goes back to the idea that we're not in competition. We should not hold ourselves up to be something we're not. We're all saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Well, John writes here in verses 9 through 11, he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Well, this person, Diotrephes, evidently said things against John. He was causing problems within the church. John says, look, this guy thinks he's better than what he is. He's got pride. We know you, and I know that pride goeth before a fall, before destruction, according to the Word of God. And I believe this is what John's trying to get across. Well, this man, Diotrephes, was walking on dangerous ground. Diotrephes and John is telling people, he's telling us today that we are to reject pride and self-exaltation. He's warning us against Diotrephes, against pride, against rising up against God's men and women. Well, what are some of the applications we can look at here? I believe that, first of all, Christians are not always what they should be. Verse 9 and 10, and we've read that, we're not what we should be. Sometimes even we who do not try to exalt ourselves, we do not want to have that pride that creeps in, and sometimes it does creep in anyway. According to 3 John 9 and 10, that should not be. We've got to watch. Sometimes we're just not what we should be. Well, secondly, I believe Christians often imitate other Christians. Verse 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Well, why is it that people gravitate sometimes towards the evil? Well, that answers the question. People are people. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, it's something that is in the human nature to follow something that is evil. That is not right, according to 3 John. Well, then I believe that what's being said here is those who follow the spirit of Diotrephes stand in danger of human correction. In other words, they are to be turned over. They are to be rejected of the church. It doesn't mean that we should not love them. It doesn't mean that we should not try to help them. But we need to let them know that they are in error. Well, it's been good being with you today, and I pray for you that if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you'll do so. You need to ask Him to come into your heart. You need to realize that you're a sinner. You can't save yourself, and you need a Savior. And that Savior, the only Savior, is Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, you need to be living for Him, trusting Him to lead and guide you through this life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time, and I pray for those who are listening that You would touch hearts, Lord, and help each of us to grow in Your grace and knowledge and live for You, for Christ's sake. Amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.